I have received come before you with this evening will be found in the book of Joshua, the first chapter, two clauses at the end of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, the last part of verse 8. It is common among human beings, perhaps more frequently in the young, to seek to be prosperous and successful. A question that has been in my mind in relation to these two clauses is this: what kind of prosperity are you looking for, or would you have me speak of, and what kind of success are you expecting to attain to? If it is of a worldly nature, I am not a suitable instructor for you. I cannot draw on my own experience to assist me in any way in this particular matter. The Lord has not seen fit in His wisdom that any great prosperity in matters providential should be my portion. Neither could I claim to have been particularly successful in any particular line of business or employment. My case has been largely one of this: hold up my goings by way of prayer and a desire to be thankful here and there, and finally reach the condition of the apostle, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Prosperity then and success from a providential point of view must be left out. And I don't believe you really want to hear about it this evening. It's not a suitable subject for the house of God, is it? When we come together in the house of God, we expect to hear something from the Scriptures. We expect the person who is talking to give us some scriptural advice, if possible, or at least say a few things which might tend to give enough instruction to cause us to seek for things that are more lasting. And I must say that at least I do have this desire this evening. That is what I want to do. I want to be able, as the Lord may help me, to show you what is necessary if you are to make your way prosperous after a gracious sort, and to have good success. There was a time when, in looking at this, I felt half inclined to substitute two of the letters, to put the two clauses into a form of two questions, to substitute the letter W for T. When shalt thou make thy way prosperous? And when shalt thou have good success? But after trying to get some light upon this particular, I found that in endeavoring to answer the question, I was only coming to the same final condition and position as if I dealt with them as it stands. So I have laid that aside. And if I take it up in speaking, it will be because I have to pass on what I may be given. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. But first of all, let us take a brief look at what Joshua was told he was to do to this end, or for this reason, so that he might thus be prosperous and have good success. he is told that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's to constantly refer to it and evidently to speak of it. Onerous were the, in addition to being an apt and clever general and a gracious and patient leader, he must also assume the role of a teacher and instructor from this book of the law to endeavor to keep the people in a mind to serve God, for they were always so very ready to turn aside and neglect the worship of God and foolishly turn at times to worshiping idols. That tendency is still alive today. Each of us have this tendency within us. So we do have to be very careful how we speak, for we are only kept safely as the Lord keeps us. And if we are rightly to worship, some of us are learning how much we need the Spirit's aid in this. But anyway, this book of the law was to be in Joshua's mouth. He was to give utterance to the things contained therein, and he was to meditate in it day and night. You may say, well, surely this is an onerous task. Well, viewed in one sense it is, but it doesn't necessarily mean all the day or all the night. But what it does mean with it does mean is this. And I would commend this to you. When opportunity occurs in the day, meditate if you can, especially if meditation be given. And if you can't sleep at night, your portion is to have wakeful nights at times. You will find that the hours will pass more quickly and more profitably. You ask the Lord to grant you meditation upon what is called here the law, and hoping to come presently to our more favored condition today. We are more favored even than Joshua was in one respect. And that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. This is the hardest part of all for Joshua. He is to read the word of God and then speak of it and then meditate over it and then do it. Dear young friend, this is still the word of God. And you are in the privileged condition today to have the word of God very frequently set before you by the servants of God who earnestly desire one thing. We read in the Word of God, the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. And the Lord's servants pray more often than you know. So do godly parents pray more often than you know. That a word from God might enter, not just the ear, enter the heart, abide there, and take root. Then, prosperity. When once the Word of God is established within you, accompanied by His power and the renewings of it by the Spirit in the light which He alone can give. I'm still dealing with the instruction given to Joshua to do, observe to do according to all that is written therein. Well, the laws given was in a condition and state that can easily be condensed in a few words. Do and live, fail to do, and be punished. That was the law. It still is the law. But I want to come to the words of the apostle in the epistle to the Romans concerning the people of God. But you're not under the law, but under grace. I want you to remember that. And now, the way to make your way prosperous is very different to observation to the letter of the law. The way to make your way prosperous is to be found among those who call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you, even at the risk of wearying you with repetition, a favorite subject of mine from the scriptures. You wish to be prosperous. You want to have good success in life and in spiritual matters. Here is the answer in one verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I want to bring before you this evening one or two ways, as far as I'm helped, whereby you will make your way prosperous in divine things. Seek for a spirit of prayer to be given you in every time of uncertainty as to what step you should take. Never rush into any decision in life trusting to your own wisdom. You say to me, why, that's just that very old word we keep hearing about. Yes, it is. I'm going to emphasize it yet again. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, the next thing that I feel personally that a young person needs, even down to children and little children, is instruction. You needn't be offended at this. We older ones still feel the need for this, and a very gracious servant of God, a well-loved child of God, in spite of all his faults, was not too proud to pray this: lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. It is desirable that you young people should early be found seeking to be among those who walk in the ways of truth. My thoughts have suddenly gone to one of the epistles of the Apostle John, in which that aged disciple said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And you may say to me, yes, but we're told from time to time in this house of God that we've no natural power for this. So how can we be expected to walk in the ways of truth? Did I say you were expected to? I don't think so. What I do say is, may the Lord make you willing to be instructed, and then graciously take you under his instruction. I have a word which I frequently use, and which I find so essential for myself, and therefore I'm going to commend it to you. You will find it in the second chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, And it's in the third verse, and it's only a part of it. It is speaking of the God of Jacob, and it says, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Now that's the way I must bring before you this evening. A way of gracious, divine instruction, so that being instructed, and under the Lord's teaching, you may walk in his ways. Are you willing to be instructed? Do you seek for divine instruction? Have you ever prayed, that which I see not, teach thou me? Good prayer. Has the Lord revealed to you so far the folly of choosing your own path? What will happen to you? My duty to warn as well as instruct. What will happen to you if the Lord says, well, in effect, go your own way and leave you to yourself? What will happen? Oh, my friends, unless the Lord's mercy is only hidden for a while, and this temporary abandonment of you is only for a while, you're on the downward road that leadeth to destruction. And that will be your ultimate solemn condition. But if you're to make your way really prosperous, you will seek that the Lord take charge of you, graciously begin not only to teach, but also to show you while he teaches his need of discipline. I put that wrongly. Your need of his discipline. That he should discipline you. Begin to take you particularly into his care and grant you, as well as instruction, correction. I remember saying on one occasion to young people that I was trying to speak to some years ago now, some of the earliest indications that you as young people may probably receive from the Lord will not be a direct answer to your prayer probably and some special word granted, but a restraint brought about in you. A restraint brought about in you. You may devise this and plan that, and you may be determined to go that way, and at the same time you may have a secret desire in your heart to be rightly guided and preserved. You may say, what a contradiction. I should not be able to bring this before you had I not passed to some extent this way. And I do not mind telling you at this particular stage that I have great concern for one or two at the present time who appear to be in the same condition. Not here. Not at the present time here. But I have them in mind, and they are a great concern to me. I believe they are at the time, this time in their natural mind, determined to go their own way. And yet I have a hope within me that the Spirit has already begun a work in them, and there is a struggle going on between the two. That's what I mean when I said what I said just now. You may still be determined to go your own way, and you may still actually lay plans and resolve to go, and you may start going and have to return. All this is to seek to be placed under the instruction and discipline of the Spirit, to feel his restraining power, and it may be the means in God's gracious hand of working within you a hope that after all there is something deep going on within you beyond natural control. This is my desire for you, that in due course, by way of becoming among those who walk in their way and gain prosperity and have good success, you may find that the Lord has implanted within you a divine principle which restrains, which holds, which keeps, which preserves, which protects. I'd like at this stage, if I may, and I'm being, I know, rather wandering this evening, but I shall try to give you a little good advice and bring you as I can to the scriptures. I want to bring before you a word contained in that wondrous communion the Lord Jesus Christ had with his Holy Father. It's in the 17th of John. He said concerning his own people, and I want you to be among them, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I have seen, as I came along this evening, very briefly, just a ray of light as the result of that word. It is necessary that while young, especially, I've emphasized that word, while young, especially, the Lord should mercifully keep you from the evil that is abroad in the land. I frequently return to the solemn subject of the present condition of our land, because I feel that today our young people are in graver and greater danger, possibly, than ever before. And the need for the Savior's prayer. No word that ever escaped that gracious mouth. No desire that ever proceeded from that loving and gracious heart was ever in vain or will ever fall to the ground. But my desire this evening is that you may be so led in walking in this way as to become seekers. Seekers after truth. Seekers for grace. Seekers for knowledge, seekers for guidance in the way of life, that you may feel that there is in your heart a power beyond your own natural power, which is not only preventing you and restraining you, but is also a guiding influence within you. Come now to the necessity of a guide. And I come, in this respect, to the promise of the Savior. I will pray the Father. And I've said this so many times, I fear I have here so many times. He shall send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, but I'm concerned with what the Lord said that Comforter would do. He shall teach you all things. He shall guide you into all truth. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. There is no possibility of one's way being prosperous without this gracious teacher and this wonderful guide. Oh, may he prove to be your guide and ours in this important matter, and cause us too to be found when the time comes making a right choice. The time will come. It comes to us each presently. That word which you will find in this same book of Joshua. Choose now this day whom ye will serve. Well, when it comes, my friends, my young friends particularly, to making this most important choice, whether you will serve God or serve idols, serve the master who is the Lord, or Mammon who is the god of this world, may mercy find you and grace be given you to make the same choice as did Moses of old. Moses, when it became necessary to make a choice, we read, was found choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, margin says the reproach for Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, my friends, if you are to make your way prosperous in this life, you must cease to serve Mammon. There are certain exhortations in the Word of God, and among them is this: set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But if you are to make your way prosperous, you must be found not only seeking to be instructed by the Lord, guided by His Spirit, restrained, corrected, and guided by Him, you will also find it absolutely necessary to become a worshipper of Him. The way of God is a way of worship, and worship consists of prayer and praise and gathering oneself with His people in the sanctuary in His appointed means. Now, if you are to make your way prosperous, I must advise you to continue in your present course. One of the words in the Word, which is becoming a great necessity not only to young people, but to all the people of God, is that word, continue. And it is based on the apostle's word to the church at Colossae: if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And there is also that warning issued by the apostle in the epistle to the Hebrews: and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. My dear friends, it's the manner of far too many today. I will say this, though, just at this juncture, it gives me pleasure each time I come here to find that there are still so many young people still gathering together with the people of the Lord, but the advice that I said it was my duty to give you must be this: pray for grace to continue so to do. I know from painful experience that the enemy of souls will do the utmost in his power to lure you away. He has no shortage in these solemn days of agents working quite hard in that same direction. And so I must urge you to pray for that grace which is needed to keep you walking in the path you have so far begun to walk in. To this end, I really must bring before you again the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. He clearly tells us in his teaching that there are two ways. One way has a wide gate. The way itself is broad. And the solemn truth concerning it from his lips is this: and many there be that go in thereat. And my dear young friend, it is our desire and the desire of your godly parents that you may not be found among that many. There are people today who will tell you that there's safety in numbers, and that such a large number of people can't be wrong, and such a few people right. Well, it doesn't happen to be my words, so you can take more notice of them than as if they were mine. I'm about to bring before you the same words of the Lord Jesus. The other way he mentioned has a straight gate. Straight gate means to say that there's a straight entrance to it, and there's a straightened way into it too. Something has to occur in the entrance before they can enter. The entrance, I didn't mean, not the gate itself. When I said the entrance, I meant the people entering. Something takes place in them to make them small enough to enter into this straight gate, which is narrow. And so is the rest of the way, the Lord says. That's narrow too. And he says this: and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Well, now I'm going to bring before you the favored few. These are the children of God, toward whom he has special favor. And he has shown such great concern for their welfare, and knows how much power is necessary to deliver them from the power of the evil one and translate them out of his kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son, that he sent that dear son to redeem them and to save them from their sins. You've heard this constantly. And I know some of you say you're tired of hearing it. My dear young friends, I felt the same in the past when I was young. But the time came when I rejoiced to hear it. And I'm earnest in this. I hope the day will come when you will be pleased to hear it too, that he came to save sinners. Because you will hope that there's hope for you. And I may say now that if you reach this blessed stage and begin most earnestly to seek for personal interest in the salvation of Jesus Christ, and that the Word of God may enter into you, and some of the promises in the Word of God be made to you and for your good, your way is beginning to be prosperous. Prosperous. Now there is this need, as I've hinted already and didn't continue with, that you continue. Still attend. Still press your case. Still plead. Still use importunity. Still seek to worship God. Still seek to honor him in this way. He has said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Well, I know that there will still be a hankering in the natural mind for natural prosperity. And Satan will come to you sometimes and say, "Look, are you really certain that there is this laid up for those who fear God? Are you really persuaded? Do you firmly believe that there is for the people of God a wondrous heritage laid up? And that one day you will be so successful in seeking to be found walking in the way that leads to it that you will arrive there. Are you sure? I know you'll be subject to this. And what can you do against such an enemy? I can assure you, you have no power in yourself to deal with him. You will have to take these inward suggestions and these terrible inducements to leave the track, the way to God, to your God, and ask him to maintain in you the work that he has begun. You will say to me at the finish, probably, well, I don't know, the way to heaven seems to be more difficult than ever, the way you put it. I can't make it any less difficult. The Word assures me constantly that salvation is of the Lord, and it's of the Lord's doing. And consequently, you will find that if you are to be prosperous in the way that we desire you may be found and have good success, as his people finally hope to, the matter is in the hand of God. And you can do no other than to constantly make use of the means he himself has provided to seek that there may be given to you the grace and the faith and the hope and the love and the patience that is necessary to walk in the ways of God. It's no use me telling you that by some special effort of your own you will successfully reach the end of the journey and enter into eternal life. It would be a fallacy, and I should be a traitor to this master I hope to be helped to serve if I was to say such things to you. I have no option but to say this evening that you have no other way of real prosperity in the things of God and no other way of attaining to good success than to place yourself as enabled into the hands, the mighty and gracious hands of God himself, pleading the name of Jesus Christ for your acceptance with God and seeking to be vitally concerned in the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And now I want to briefly bring before you that which I half promised to do, to try to convince you, if I can, if you will listen, that today we are far more favored than ever Joshua was in his day. He had but a very few scriptures which were available to him, a few of incomplete writings of Moses in the earliest part of the present scriptures. I want to bring before you the fact that today we live in gospel days and have for our instruction a complete scripture, because Christ has come. And now this enables me, having made this form of introduction to you, that our hope now is vested in the gospel set before us, we now have a higher than Joshua for our particular leader. I want to bring before you now the similarity for a moment or two between these two great leaders, only that while doing so, I must try to emphasize the supremacy of the Lord Jesus. First, their names mean the same. Joshua is the Hebrew of Jesus, which is the Greek of Joshua. This is why in the Hebrews you read that if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? But Joshua is Jesus. Jesus is Joshua. And you will find that in these two, they both led the people of God as they were then in Joshua's days and are now in gospel days, each being led by this same great leader with the same name. Only this great leader in the gospel days is God himself in the person of Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. So I would bring before you this evening the one certain way of making thy way prosperous and having good success. It is to seek grace closely, to follow the leader God has favored us with. Seek then to be found among those he is leading. Joshua led, he had to fight and conduct many battles before the people of God were established in the promised land. This great captain that the Lord has favored us with in these days has fought the battle alone, met and conquered the powers of evil, even Satan himself, and has triumphed over him that had the power of death as well. We have then today an infallible leader, and our privilege is to be found followers of him. So, briefly sum up, I am conscious of having fallen exceedingly short of my own hopes and expectations. I must sum up briefly in this way. There will be prosperity attending you. You will have good success from the moment you commit yourself into the hands of God and seek to be led and taught by the gracious Spirit and rely for your safe entry into the promised land on the gracious captain of salvation. We have a captain far superior to Joshua, who not only fought our battles for us, but as often as we come into conflict with a variety of enemies, is able to impart the necessary strength that we may safely defeat them through him. In other words, we are found covered by the description of the hymn writer, "He who conquered for us once will in us conquer too." I could wish that I had been able to bring before you a far more suitable, helpful, instructive address this evening, but there it is. I shall have to leave the matter as it is and where it is with this perhaps last word, that success depends entirely upon a close dependence upon, a total reliance in, the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And there I shall have to leave the matter. The Lord pardon all that has been amiss. Amen.
All praise to him who dwells in bliss, who made both day and night. His throne is darkness in the abyss. Bible says.